Hope everyone's having a great weekend. This is our week in review. A look back at some of the most compelling segments of this past week. Brand new episodes back again Monday morning at 5 a.m. here in the podcast.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
It has been a dramatic afternoon since lunch in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill as Lori refusing to come back into court, not wanting to be present for the afternoon sessions. The question of, can that actually take place? Can Lori make that decision and not be present? Court went back and forth about that for a little while. Court was about to resume, but John Thomas asked for some time to visit with Lori. Lori appeared to be visibly upset. Lori then left the courtroom with her attorneys to have a discussion privately in the hallway. Shortly thereafter, all the prosecutors and judge left the courtroom and went to the hallway where Lori was with her attorneys. Boy said that the afternoon session would begin at 12:45 and everyone was ready to go. When John Thomas then asked if they could have a meeting with Archibald and Lori privately following lunch. The court then took about 30 minutes of another recess. Prosecutors and defense attorneys came back to the courtroom. Lori, however, did not return. Prosecutor Rachel Smith grabbed some documents and all the attorneys then went back to the hallway where they were originally meeting. The hearing then was set to resume at 1:35. Prosecutors then came back to the courtroom. Defense attorney and Lori did not enter the courtroom. John Thomas opened the door to the hallway. From there, Archibald and Lori were seen. Lori eventually did re-enter the courtroom. Her face red, appeared to have been crying. The deputy locking her leg shackles into the ground. When she sits down, she can't move. And she sat there looking down. Lori's mood visibly different than the morning. The morning, chatting with attorneys, smiling, even laughing at times. This afternoon, appearing to be upset as more evidence about to be revealed concerning her children, JJ and Tylee, and very graphic images of their death. Boyce is on the bench and says a legal issue had arisen that needed to be taken up outside of the presence of the jury. Archibald then was going to argue the issue. Archibald said Lori wishes to waive her right to not be present for the remainder of the afternoon. He said it was emotional this morning and Lori has very fragile mental health. Lindsey Blake then argued that it's important to have the defendant present and the state of Idaho deserves to have her here. This isn't the first time the defendant has been uncooperative with this court, Lindsey said. Blake says if Lori is allowed to leave, the state would be allowing to comment to the jury during closing arguments that she was not present during portions of the trial. Boyce then cited criminal rule number 43 and stated that the presence is required on the defendant's trial in every stage of the trial, but part of the law also says that a defendant can waive their right to be present under certain circumstances. Boyce said Idaho law allows some defendants to waive their right to be present during part of the trial, but there is a process if someone wants to be voluntarily absent. Boyce discussed what authority the court has to allow someone to miss part of the trial. Boyce then said that the court does have the authority to override the request of the defendant to voluntarily excuse herself from certain portions of the trial where she's been for the first day and a half. Boyce then later said that her presence can and should be required, so the judge denies the request and orders that Lori cannot leave. Lori did not show any reaction to that decision. I want to bring in Lara Yuretsian. She's a criminal defense attorney, one of the best out there. Lara, this is a very interesting development, honestly one that I'm not super shocked by. I was questioning from the beginning, how well is Lori's mental health going to hold up as this trial gets underway? With something like this, what are we dealing with? What sort of rights does a defendant have to be present or not be present, especially if we're looking at the human aspect of this, as much as Lori has not presented herself in a very human-like way? These are images of her deceased children and discussion of their bodies that are coming up. But again, she's also being charged with their murders.
I mean, generally, obviously, defendants are supposed to be there, especially in a high profile case like this and with the serious charges alleged in this case. They would be expected to be in court. They have a right to a fair trial and they need to be present, right, in the courtroom. But the judge can make an exception. The judge can or give her a break. It could be one or the other, right? For certain parts. But again, I mean, the judge is going to be the final decision maker here. And if he's going to want to preserve the record and make sure there's no issues on appeal, then he'd take the safe route and keep her in the courtroom. But regardless, I think it's within the judge's purview and authority to say, you know, for the parts where they're showing the photographs, we can ask her to step outside or into an area where she doesn't see them and then come back. But I even as defense counsel, I wouldn't want her to be missing huge chunks of testimony, though.
Yeah, I mean, you'd certainly want them to be there. I was a little bit surprised by this, but also kind of not at all. I've been saying from day one, is Lori going to make it through this trial and be able to participate in her own defense? Or is something going to happen? Is she going to get triggered in some way, shape, or form? Or as she has her entire life, it seems, pretty much just try and blaze her own path in destruction in any way that she knows how. And I'm wondering if kicking and screaming in the court, I mean, not that she's literally doing that, but, I think we're almost a step away from that if she's not wanting to be present.
And you know, we also have to decide, what does presence mean? I mean, sure. If she's present and she is not emotionally and psychologically able to follow, but and all she's doing is crying, then is that really considered to be presence?
Yeah.
Physically, she's present, but is she mentally present? If the impact of that testimony on her, especially that she's got, you know, volatile psychological condition or status, right? We've had issues before where she wasn't even competent to stand trial. So she's almost like an eggshell defendant. Let's just put it that way, even though this isn't a civil case, but she is emotionally, right? So you want to be careful how much pressure, at least emotional pressure and stress you put on her. And for a mother, regardless of what the role is and what really happened, you have to listen to all of that, to see images of that. I mean, you have to be made of stone not to crumble and cry.
Well, and that's been interesting because she seems to have been made of stone for quite some time.
Yeah. And she could have been medicated. Remember that.
Yeah.
She's probably medicated. And if you're medicated, your emotional response is going to be muted and not as expressive. And that I understand that. I've seen people who have lost, you know, a brother, a sister, a son, and even at the funeral, they're not crying, not because they don't care, quite the opposite. They are destroyed and they're on so much meds. I mean, and the doctors will give them the medication so they can get through the day. And in her case, we know she wasn't competent to stand trial, so she's got to be medicated. And that explains, honestly, why she seemed like she was made of stone, at least in the courtroom. Now, we also know there were issues before where she wasn't really cooperating as far as the whereabouts of her children.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
And that's where it gets bizarre because you would, I mean, from the outside looking in, it's not a legal standard by any means. But if you think of the grandparents there, Larry and Kay Woodcock, who are sitting there and they had to endure watching all of this drama play out for all these years and discover that their grandchildren were murdered in the backyard of Chad Daybell. And then for Lori to, I don't want to say be pulling this because I don't know if this is a stunt or if this is her real true emotion to get out of being present. One would want them to be present, but it also starts to border on almost cruel and unusual as well if we're talking about someone with mental health problems as well.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was saying. She's got mental health issues. She is a mom. She has not been convicted.
No.
So those are things that obviously the court's going to take into consideration, deciding whether she should be in the courtroom or not. But then the court's, again, is going to have to decide what is the appropriate, where to draw the line, basically. Because if she's absent too much, too many hours on too many important or material testimony that's been presented or evidence, then there's going to be some other legal issues that are going to come up on appeal, right?
I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, what sort of other issues could this end up creating You know, let's just theoretically say that this doesn't just only happen today in a bubble. Let's say that there's more of this sort of behavior in the coming days or weeks where she has to leave.
That could, it may show that mentally or emotionally, psychologically, psychiatrically, mm-hmm. she has an issue. Maybe she wasn't really competent to stand trial. Mm-hmm. That could be one of the issues that can come up. The other one is, you know, I think part and parcel of the right to a fair trial is the defendant being engaged in his or her own defense. But if you're missing chunks of evidence, chunks of testimony, how do you help yourself? How do you help your counsel in representing you and defending you? I mean, I've had cases where my clients are honestly as involved and as engaged and as helpful as anyone else on my defense team, because think about it. They're the ones who've lived it, mm-hmm. right? No matter how much you read the evidence, how much you go to the scene of the alleged crime, these are people who, like, minute by minute lived everything that's being presented, right? And they have a much better ability to give you information that sometimes, you know, it's possible as human beings we could miss or we may not have noticed. And their involvement is crucial, right, to their defense. So that could be another issue. Again, I'm not an appellate lawyer, but I can already just see, and you don't have to be one, to see that that could be problematic.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this continues to play out. At some point, could the judge on his own accord say, look, if she can't be here on a regular basis, this is going to be a mistrial, and she's just going to go have to get the mental health help that she needs until she could come back and try to be standing trial again?
And that's possible. It could happen. But I think for one day, for the type of evidence that's involved here, I don't think that's going to be a huge issue. And I think it's within the court's discretion to allow her to step out of the courtroom while this type of testimony is being presented. And then her lawyers can always have a little bit of time with her and discuss it. If there's certain things that they want to bring up for cross-examination, they can discuss it with her and then come back and do their cross.
Laura Yeretsian, criminal defense attorney, thank you so much for your insight. As always, very valuable. We have much more to come. The trial does continue throughout the afternoon. We'll be giving you reports on that and full trial audio at the end of the day. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military. This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military. This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.